Today is September 11th, 2019, and this is episode number 522 of the Apple Context Machine. It's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief of TMO, and today, a little sleepy, a little tired. Yesterday was a long day. Had a lot of stuff going on. Apple was doing that thing. And to get the full story on anything that we talk about in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, you could instead go to macobserver.com/contextmachine, and that'll take you to our Facebook group. Now, yesterday, Apple did that whole by innovation only iPhone 11 media event. And that can really only mean that Jeff Gamet is joining me to talk about all the new stuff. Is this true?
Generally speaking, yes, this is true. Brian, I have to say that that was a really great intro on the show, but I kind of like the first version better.
Okay, let's go with that. Now, let's also go with the fact that Keeps.com is sponsoring the show today, which I very much appreciate. I love this company, love what they do. I'm going to tell you more about them later. But in the meanwhile, Apple did, they announced some new stuff.
They did. Okay, I'm totally derailing us immediately. Excellent. Because why not? I have to say, watching the keynotes where I'm not frantically trying to get the details so that I can get articles cranked out, it completely changes how you feel about watching a keynote.
You were just rubbing it in.
I just have to say.
You're rubbing it in.
Yes. Yes, I am.
That's mean.
But on the other side of that rubbing, mm-hmm. It means that I may be able to bring a different perspective to talking about a keynote than I would have when I was still working with you.
Yeah, these are good points. These are very good points. Let's start off. From the beginning by mentioning that despite, you know, one of the things that like that we talked about for years, Jeff, mm-hmm. when you were still working at the Mac Observer, is the fact that there are too many eye holes and fingers involved in making Apple stuff for us to really get too many surprises.
You know, the image I have in my head now of eye holes and fingers.
You're welcome. You are entirely welcome. But Apple did manage.
Google therapists right now.
Apple did manage to get a few surprise features, like the always on display for Apple Watch.
That was a total surprise for me.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I'm not spending every minute of every day looking for all the rumors and, you know, like I used to. But still, I mean, I'm on Twitter. I still have all the same friends. So the rumors are always popping up for me. I just don't have to go looking for them now.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you for making sure I have those rumors handy.
Yep.
So the whole watch face is always on thing. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was straight up a surprise.
It was a straight up surprise. It was a good surprise. Pricing was a surprise. There were definitely some, a few surprises. I mean, the iPhone 11 moniker was not a surprise. The iPhone 11 Pro was not a surprise. The 2 and 3 camera arrays on the back were not a surprise. But I don't think we knew that there was a midnight green color coming for iPhone. I think that was a surprise.
That might have been a surprise. The fact that there would be multiple colors was not a surprise.
Yeah. And then on the Apple Watch side, the return of ceramic Apple Watches and the addition of titanium Apple Watches. Those were a surprise. And I think that the space black finish on the steel model was also a surprise.
The titanium, I thought I saw a rumor about that a few days ago. But I might be misremembering.
Apple titanium. This is we're gonna make some sausage,
just like old times.
Uh-huh. Let's see if we got this. 2 days ago. Let's see here. It's Tom's guy. Let's see if we have.
So while you're fumbling through that, just by coincidence, we're sitting here talking about titanium, and I have a titanium pen in my hand. It's really nice.
Cool. Like what kind of pen?
It's a pen. I think this was actually a Kickstarter pen initially.
Just a ballpoint pen?
No, it's actually really cool because you can put a bunch of different types of pen cartridges in it. So it can be a ballpoint or a roller ball or a gel or whatever you want. So mine right now is a gel tip, and it's a really nice pen.
Okay, so you are correct. Mac Rumors had something back in August for ceramic and titanium cases for Apple Watch. So yeah, that was not a surprise.
Well, you know, you get to slide on that one because there are so many rumors and stuff going around that you have to stay on top of. Wait a second. You're just supposed to be on top of everything.
I am supposed to be on top of everything. I blame being tired. So, all right. Well, let's talk about iPhone 11, iPhone 11 Pro, iPhone 11 Pro Max. I know you're pissy about the amount of storage.
Yes, I am. On a side note, I just sent you the link for the pen that I have.
Oh, sweet.
It's a really nice pen.
Where'd you send it?
$90. Oh, Discord.
Discord, okay. All right.
Yeah. There you go, people. More sausage, just like old times. It's called the... I'm totally doing a pitch for a pen that I have. It's the TI, T-I. Arto EDC titanium pen.
I'll include a link to it in the show notes. There's only one of them in stock.
Oh, order soon.
Order, yeah. But, you know, like, I mean, it's not a fountain pen.
It could be.
I got this new fountain pen.
Oh, yeah?
I say it's a new fountain pen. I think it's from the 90s, but it's a Parker 75. It's this like mottled brown and gold finish with gold hardware. It's like super gaudy, but I love it.
It sounds wonderful.
Came with a ballpoint pen too, magic ballpoint pen.
It's very nice.
Yeah, it is. It's super nice.
So now people know a little bit more about the shared pen fetish we have.
Yes, except for I like the fountains and you like the ballpoints.
I do. Oh, do you remember, it was another Kickstarter, the pen where it was like a brass tube and then a stainless steel pen body that was machined to fit perfectly inside it?
Yeah. No, not even a little bit. I know that was a very quick reversal for me.
Oh, I have that one too. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a ballpoint pen.
Unless you put a different tip in there. Because like the other one, it can hold a bunch of different cartridges.
I see.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see if I can get the foam sound out of it.
Oh, nice. That's fun.
Oh, I suppose I need to find a link for that too.
Yeah. Shoot me a link to that, and then I'll include that in the show notes also. Let's see here. So you're complaining about the storage. Starts at $999 with 64 gigs of storage.
Oh, right. I forgot. This wasn't the...
This is the Apple show.
The Penn show.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So here's my thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to put the Pro moniker on a phone like that, especially with all the features that it has, you better start it at 128 instead of 64.
Yeah.
The whole thing, $999 price point. Okay. I'm fine with that for everything it has, but with only 64 for storage, that's half what it should be, period.
It really is, especially when so much of a to-do is made about the camera features. And like, you know, this is a device for shooting professional videos. This is a device for shooting professional photography. So you're going to need some storage to hold all that stuff.
Yeah. Yes. And I have proven that over and over unintentionally, because when I bought my iPhone X, I had trouble with the web page, of course, because everyone was pre-ordering at the same time. And I ordered the what's the mid-range one? That was 256 for storage, and it didn't work. And I tried again and accidentally clicked 64, and that one worked. And so that's what I've been rocking all this time. It's not enough storage on that phone.
Yeah. Yeah. I am with you. Yeah, so Apple though has long had this habit of sticking a Pro moniker on stuff and having it be Pro on everything except for the RAM and or storage, at least on the Mac side. It's the first time obviously that we've had a quote unquote Pro iPhone.
And it should start at 128. You know, the Apple Watch Series 5, the storage it has, 32 gig. So in something that's not much larger than a postage stamp, they're putting 32 gigs of storage in it. And the iPhone 11 Pro starts at only 64 gig.
Yeah.
Apple should be embarrassed.
Apple should be embarrassed about that, but I don't think they should be embarrassed about the phone itself. It's a fine device.
Great phone.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of articles coming out since the announcements yesterday, saying, "Wow, what a ho-hum phone! What a minor upgrade from the iPhone XS Pro Maxi." No, I guess it's just XS and XS Max. But I'm looking at this phone and thinking, you know, not everyone has the luxury of being able to upgrade their phone every single year when Apple releases a new one.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people, they're doing the...
Most people, the vast majority of people can't do that.
Right. Yeah. So for the people, the vast majority of people that are in a position to say, hey, I'm ready to upgrade this year, this is a significant upgrade for them.
Yeah. Anyone who's upgrading, you know, two or three models or more, it's a significant upgrade. But I think it's also significant from the standpoint of what the processor can do, and as well as what this camera can do, that these cameras can do.
Yeah, the whole thing with turning off the parts of the processor that aren't being used, that was really cool. And I'm really interested in seeing the real-world performance and real-world battery life on these new phones.
Yeah, and I'm hoping it is up to 4 hours or more battery life on the 11 Pro. I will be getting one. I'm on the AT&T's Next Plan, so it's sort of baked in already.
Yeah, and I'm deciding, because I didn't upgrade to the XS because I didn't feel like there was enough of a change between the 10 and the XS for the way I use my phone to justify it.
Sure.
Now the 11, Okay, that's a nice upgrade from a 10, I think.
The 11 or the 11 Pro?
Both. I think the 11 Pro is a solid phone, and I think it's a really good price point. Even though, like the Pro, it starts at 64 gig, but
that's a little less egregious on the 11.
Yeah,
on the 11 Pro, to your point, it's the Pro moniker that it should mean that it has a professional amount of RAM at the starting level. I mean, the reality is that flash storage is cheap enough that Apple could it would have cut slightly into margins by a few dollars for Apple to still have the $999 price with 128 gigs of storage.
Yeah, I agree. They could have done 128 at the base and then kept the mid and the high storage options the same.
Yeah, and that's, Apple gouges us. We talked about this a little bit on this morning's TDO, but Apple has long, Apple basically has trained us to be willing to pay $100-$150 for $25 worth of storage.
Yeah.
Right. And they have, and to Apple's credit, they've done a fantastic job of doing so. But the Pro moniker means that it should have a professional amount of RAM. Again, especially when they are touting the thing that takes up a lot of space, which is video and photography creation.
Yeah. That 11. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I think that's a solid phone. Mm-hmm. I was so impressed with the 11 that when they were done with that, I almost forgot that there were going to be more phones. Because with what they showed, I thought was so solid. I'm like, man, okay, there we go. What a great upgrade.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we still have the Pro phones. What are they going to do there? If it weren't for the fact that the body of the 11, which is the same as the 10R, wasn't just slightly too big for me to work with comfortably, mm-hmm. it would be a no-brainer. I'd be getting the 256 gig storage 11, but I'd be doing the pre-order and everything. Mm-hmm. But it's just a little bit wider than my iPhone 10 with the case on. So the naked 11 is just a little bit wider than the 10 with the case that I have. That will be a problem for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. So that means if I upgrade my 10, that means I have to go to the 11 Pro. And so instead of spending, I don't know, it's like $850 for the phone, that it turns into almost $1,200.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah.
Which is a hefty premium.
Yeah. Yep.
So one of the things that I found interesting is how, the Android world tends to focus on camera hardware, especially megapixels. Mm-hmm. They love megapixels, right? And they've been doing. Yep. You and I were talking. You mentioned this in a pre-show before we hit record. How Android devices have been using 3 or even 5 camera arrays, mm-hmm. for a while, and you were being dismissive of people who were saying, "Why do you need 3 cameras on the?" That's such a dumb question. What do you mean, why you need 3 cameras? I tell you why you need 3 cameras on the back of your iPhone 11 Pro.
Tell me, Brian, why do I need 3 cameras on the back of my iPhone?
Apple is doing really cool stuff with them. That's why. And that's the thing. That's what I was talking about, all right, with Android. Android world tends to focus on the hardware aspects of their cameras. Again, especially megapixels. They love just having a jillion, trillion megapixels. And mm-hmm. Apple consistently does, but I think Apple's been very consistent about this, but I think that they've taken it up to a new level with the iPhone 11 Pro, where they're not just throwing new camera hardware. They are very specifically doing this complete and total marriage of hardware and software for the camera.
You know, that's Apple's strong point.
It is. It is. But it's Apple's strong point, and it's something that remains strong even while some other aspects of Apple's product development may leave us wanting more.
That was really nice the way you put that. You know, I'm with you. Those cameras, holy crap. I mean, I was really, really impressed with what Apple was showing with the dual camera setup on the 11. Mm-hmm. And then when they started showing the 11 Pro with the three camera setup, things they're doing with that. Holy crap. I totally get why the standalone camera market is hurting so bad.
Oh, yeah.
And I also get why Apple spent so much time talking about the camera features, and so much so that other important features about the phone almost felt like an, oh, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's because people are buying their smartphones for cameras. And I saw something, it was on Twitter yesterday, where someone said, we need to change the way we're thinking about these devices. We need to stop thinking about them as smartphones with cameras. They're smart cameras with communication features.
It's really true. I thought,
yeah, that's what's happening.
Well,
here.
It depends on how you use it, actually. Not necessarily true. And the vast majority of people wouldn't know how to shoot a proper photograph if their life depended upon it.
That's also true, but it doesn't change the fact that people are really, really interested in having the ability to take a good photo, even if they don't have the skill to do so.
This is true. This is true. Did you pay attention to the filmic portion of the?
That was so cool.
Yeah, that this idea of like recording the input from all four cameras, the three on the back and the selfie camera, at the same time. I mean, that could certainly revolutionize low cost film production.
You know, yes,
but I'm sorry, please.
We've already seen films coming out. I love how I'm so old school like that. Films, movies coming out where they did the photography with an iPhone. Mm-hmm. But I think with the new iPhone, with Filmic, that this opens up professional level recording to a much wider audience. And I think we're going to start seeing some just amazing content simply because people can go out and get, what's the top of the line iPhone 11 Pro Max cost? It's under $2,000, right?
It is $1,449.
Oh, see, there you go. So let's say for $1,500 plus, let's throw in a fancy tripod. So we'll say another $150 and your mics. So under $2,000, you have a really nice professional video recording setup.
It's true. We should actually explain what Filmic actually does. So, it, like I mentioned, it'll record the simultaneously record the input from all four cameras, the three on the back and the selfie camera. And then, mm-hmm. So if you're filming a scene, you can basically you know, choose which shot you don't, you're not actually married to the choice you make. You can make these choices in post.
Right. And you're recording your behind the scenes footage for your extra content at the same time, because the selfie camera's recording.
Right. Well, you could, yeah, some aspect of behind the scenes, but right. Now move away from like a drama or a comedy or whatever, and think about recording live events, especially with the, you know, selfie videographer, right? Imagine using this. I don't recommend that anybody run with the bulls in Spain. But if you were running with the bulls in Spain, you know, and people have used GoPros and whatnot, and I will also acknowledge that maybe holding an iPhone and shooting with it while you're running with the bulls is probably also a terrible idea. But
we can't wait to see the footage.
Oh yeah, totally. The being able to like have. Without you having to stop and switch your cameras and, you know, film yourself, like being able to like show the action in front of you, and then when you're editing the film, being able to intersperse seamlessly the footage from the selfie camera as you're running with the bulls or whatever it is that you're doing, videos of the demonstrations in Hong Kong, videos of the eventual demonstrations that are going to happen in the United States, any kind of a natural emergency, which of course, you know, goodness gracious, we're seeing those happen, and or a concert, even. I mean, just like there's just all kinds of ways where filmic could really be used for a new kind of Filmic Pro is the name of the app, by the way, for a new kind of videography.
How long before someone has a Kickstarter up? And I'm assuming it's only hours as opposed to days away, where it's a harness that you put on and it has a little alarm that sticks out in front of you to hold your iPhone 11. So that you can use Filmic and have the selfie camera and the three backside cameras all running at the same time. And you can do all those things where holding the camera out in front of you while you're moving around would be less than optimal.
Yeah.
Not that I'm saying you should run with the bulls, but if you run with the bulls, this would be a really great accessory to have.
I do not recommend running with the bulls, but...
But
if you do, take your iPhone 11 Pro and Filmic Pro, please.
Right. We can't wait to see the footage that you're not going to take because you won't be running with the bulls.
Because you wouldn't do that because it's a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea.
By the way, do not get the 64 gig model if you're going to be using Filmic Pro.
Yeah,
fill that puppy up faster than you can shake a stick at it.
You would just see bits flying out of all the openings on that.
It's true. I don't even think 512 gigs is enough for doing that sort of thing. You definitely want to be recording. You would want to be sending the output to some kind of external storage if at all possible.
Yeah, which. Well, since it's iOS 13, you can, but you're going to have to use a lightning adapter because it doesn't have USB-C.
I just had this image of someone running with the bulls with their iPhone 11 Pro body rig that you described, and then with like a Synology RAID, like strapped onto, and then a car battery because you're going to have to power that puppy.
Right. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? So, all right. Then there is the increased battery life, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
The display is exciting, right? 1,200 nits. That's crazy bright.
Yeah. The
2 million to 1 contrast ratio.
Yep. Yeah, man. See, that's another thing. The display on the 11, which is, I believe, the same display that's on the XR, 10R.
Yeah, it's the liquid retina display.
That is a really nice display.
Mm-hmm.
But the higher quality that you get on the OLED display on the 11 Pro, that is pretty nice.
It really, really, really is. And then again, too, I want to come back to the processor and all the stuff they're doing with AI and machine learning in it, including the controller that can actually schedule machine learning operations. I mean, that's some really, really advanced, cool stuff going on. And I am looking forward to seeing what developers, including Apple, do with that, too.
You know, the stuff Apple has been doing with their processors is so cool. And I get why people get excited about the idea of Apple taking this to their laptops and eventually desktops.
Mm-hmm.
Because holy crap, they're doing so many cool things with their mobile processors.
And mobile GPUs. Apple,
yes. The mobile processors and GPUs that Apple has designed do so much more than Macs from just a few years ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
I remember when the blue and white G3 came out and Apple used the fact that they couldn't sell it in Cuba because it was considered a supercomputer.
Yeah.
And a base model iPhone today blows that out of the water.
Completely out of the water.
Yeah. That's just amazing.
You know what else is amazing?
Oh, tell me, Brian, what else is amazing?
Keeping your hair. Or should I say, keeping your hair. I don't actually, they probably don't want me saying that. But Keeps is an online service where you can get minoxidil and other products to keep you from losing hair. Allows you to keep your hair. And I am a huge fan of this company. I love what they're doing. I love the fact that I have more hair. This is a true story. I walked into my salon to get some hair product. And my stylist, who had talked to me about Keeps because she wanted her boyfriend to use it, told me, like, I walk in, she walks up, she gives me a hug, and she says, "Bend down, let me see your hair." And so I bend down to show her my hair, show her the top of my head, and she goes, "Oh my God, that's amazing." It's totally, totally true story. This happened like 3 days ago. And I have been so happy with Keeps. If you're concerned about hair loss, you should absolutely and positively check them out. So 2 out of 3 men will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. Companies like Keeps and the products that they sell can really help prevent that hair loss. Right? Not everybody's going to necessarily get more hair. Like I have more hair on the top of my head. That's not necessarily going to happen for you. It does work differently for everybody. But it may happen for you, and at the very least, it may help you keep from losing any hair. And the thing that they are doing is that you don't have to go to a doctor's office to get that prescription. With Keeps, you can visit a doctor online, and then the medication will be delivered to your home. So no waiting rooms, no pharmacy checkout lines, no, you know, like none of that. It's very, very easy to do. I went through the process. It is easy to do. It's fast. It's private. It's fantastic. And the prevention is key because Keeps treatments do work. At least they work for me. They are up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. And the sooner you stop using Keeps, the more hair you will save. So absolutely and positively act fast. And here's the thing. Because you were listening, you get a free month of treatment for free when you sign up for Keeps. So if you're ready to take action, if you're ready to prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/ACM to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/ACM. And you're going to get your first month of treatment for free. I love this company, love what they're doing, love these products. I have been extremely happy as a customer, as a paying customer, I might add, with Keeps. So absolutely and positively check them out. I really appreciate them sponsoring the show. I would very much appreciate you checking them out. And there you have it, keeps.com/ACM. Now, Jeff.
Brian.
What do you think of the Apple Watch Series 5?
I think it's a really nice watch. And the always-on display, mm-hmm. I totally get why people are very excited about that. Mm-hmm. To me, that's really the killer new feature on Apple Watch Series 5. Now, I have a Series 4.
I do too.
And I'm probably not going to upgrade to the 5 because the only reason I would be upgrading is for the new display.
Oh, of course.
Although,
what about the compass? Wouldn't you surely?
It's funny because I was just about to say the compass is really a nice add-on.
You know, hiking up in the mountains,
right? And because battery life on an Apple Watch is basically a day, mm-hmm. you know, if you're doing any kind of tracking. Mm-hmm. For me, the compass is probably something I would use around town. Like if I step out of a building and I live in Colorado, you do directions by the compass. And so I walk out of a building and, which way's west. And there's another building in the way. I can't see the mountains. Look at the compass. Okay. Now I know which direction to go on the street. But if I'm out hiking out in the mountains, I'm using a traditional compass because it doesn't have a battery.
Okay. But what about Canix has their, what's it called? Apple Watch chargers. The Canix is the brand, K-A-N-E-X.
Oh, the portable charger.
Yeah, and they've got a new one now. They've got the it's the GoPower Watch Plus. They've got a new one that is 52. I've got the first one that they did. It was called the GoPower Watch. It really was aimed very specifically at just the Apple Watch. It's like a square. It's got an Apple Watch charger mm-hmm. on the top. You don't have to use like your own cable or anything. And then it has a 4,000 milliamp hour battery inside. And then I would take that and like on a trip and then not even have to worry about charging it up because it would usually last for the whole trip because 4,000 milliamp hours on an Apple Watch is going to recharge it many, many times. Now they've got a new one that is slender and like slender enough to put in your pocket. That's 5,200 milliamp hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you took that camping, you would have your Apple Watch charged every night and then have some emergency phone power, too.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
But you're not interested. Here's what I think, Jeff. I'm going to interrupt you because that's what I do. Here's what I think. You're sitting here saying to me, "Nah, not going to use it. You know, I'll use a regular compass. Doesn't have a battery." And then as soon as you had it and you took it with you, you would be all about that. And then you would do whatever it is that it took to make that work for you camping from here on out.
That's totally possible. This is a very plausible scenario.
I've known you for a long time.
When it comes to camping gear, I do tend to be a little more rigid in what I'm willing to take with me because everything that I add to my pack is extra weight. And you can say, oh, it's just a few ounces. But how many just a few ounces things am I going to add in where suddenly my pack weighs a lot more? So I'd be willing to give it a shot. And maybe I would totally go for it. Or maybe not. I don't know.
Listen, I love anachronisms. Right? We were talking about fountain pens earlier. Like, there's nothing convenient about a fountain pen. I love anachronisms. But surely having, like, when you're camping, when you're hiking up in the mountains, being able to, like, look down at your wrist for your compass beats having a mechanical compass.
It very well could. Although, what I used to tell people back when I was teaching classes on how to use a GPS was, your GPS is a supplement. You still carry a map and a regular compass because those will always work.
Well, that's a fair point.
So even if I get the little Canix battery thing for my Apple Watch, I'm still going to have a compass with me.
Yeah,
because that's just how I roll.
But I think, and you should. That obviously that's a very intelligent thing to do. But it seems to me that you would end up not using it. I know you. I've known you for a long time.
you have known me for a long time.
For a long time, and we've gone through technology upgrades together for a long time.
And I think there have been many, many upgrades where I've said, I don't see why I would need this.
I just don't need that.
And then I'm all about it.
And then you're all about it. You're just completely all about it. I mean, like, because you remember there was one of the watch faces was designed to have the compass complication on it.
Oh, yeah, that's right? True.
So you wouldn't have to pull up the app. You just look down at your watch, and it's always on. And you look down at your watch, and boom, there's your direction right there.
Yeah, I can see where that would be very compelling.
I accept your apology.
I've missed you, man.
But the always-on thing. But by the way, one of the things I noticed when I was actually digging into Apple's press release is that it's always on, but it dims when your wrist is down.
Yes.
So yeah. You're switching out. What Apple is doing is switching out off when your wrist is down for dim when your wrist is down.
Yes, and they're also changing the refresh rate, which I believe plays into improving battery life as well.
Yeah. Right. So the refresh rate is slower when your wrist is down, and it's higher when it's up. Right.
Which seems totally reasonable, because if your wrist is down, you don't need to have completely fluid animation because you're not looking at it.
Right. Yeah. So I'm excited about that product. I don't think I could pull off a white watch. Otherwise, I would love to get the ceramic one just to get the ceramic one. I should mention, by the way, you saw that, right? It's a solid ingot of unscratchium.
Oh yes, a solid ingot of unscratchium.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. That was definitely funny. But it's too white for me. I can't pull that off.
Just paint it.
No. That's a terrible idea. That's even worse than running with the bulls with your.
You see, that the awesome thing is that I knew if I told you to paint it, you would bring up running with the bulls.
Of course, because you know me for a long time.
Yes.
I liked the space black finish on the stainless steel model. But I think I'll probably end up getting the regular stainless steel model. So when I was in New York, I ended up getting the black metal knees loop. Which, by the way, did you see that the Milanese loop and the, I think the
it's the leather loop.
The leather loop and the Milanese loop are both cheaper now.
Yeah, I think it's $50 less.
$50 less, yeah. So, but I paid the $50 more, so that's pretty cool.
Well, that means that yours is better.
Yeah, right. And
it won't scratch when you're running with the bulls.
This is hopefully true. But so I'm using the black Milanese loop with the stainless steel case, and I freaking love it. It is such a good combination.
Oh, I bet it looks sexy.
But, you know, did you catch the Apple Watch Studio bit? That's where you can match.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a sleep. That's a sleeper hit for me for this media event.
Someone on Twitter, because I clearly have an issue and spend too much time watching Twitter. Someone on Twitter said, "Oh my God, Apple just invented Swatch."
that might have been Kelly.
It may very well have been. People of a certain age will totally get the reference.
Yes, it is true. But this is an important development to me. It has always seemed insane. I said this on TDO yesterday, but it's always seemed insane to me that I couldn't pair my Apple Watch with the Apple strap that I wanted.
I agree. That's always been crazy.
It's been like crazy. So, I think it was John. It might have been Kelly who said that they thought, this was yesterday on TDO, that it was probably Deirdre O'Brien who pushed this initiative. And if it was, bless her, and I'm so glad she did. So you can go online, and I'm going to do a how-to probably tomorrow at this point, just, you know, how to step through it. And you can pick out the prepared Apple Watch and strap combos like normal, or you can go to the Apple Watch Studio where you pick out your body and then you pick out your strap, and you can order what you want. And then you can also do the same thing in the Apple stores, where if you walk in, you know, someone will actually show you all the various combinations that you want to see, and then you can actually walk out with the combination that you want.
That is just so cool. Yeah. That's the way it should have always been.
And it's the way it should have always been. Right. So I'm pretty excited by that. I'm excited by the Series 5. I'm going to get the Series 5. I'm probably going to sell my Series 4. I will hopefully sell my Series 4 and not leave it in a drawer for
a year
or two. Apple, by the way, is offering up to $110. Up to $110 if you trade in your older Apple Watch.
You know, I looked at the trade-in thing, just because I was curious what they were doing.
Yeah.
You don't have to trade in the older version of the product that you're getting. You can trade in any Apple stuff. So if you wanted to trade in, like if you had a spare iPad sitting around, trade in an iPad and use that money on your Apple Watch.
That is a very good point. That is a very good point, but the point I was making is that up to $110 is not a good deal. Like, I'm going to check.
Apple Watch. Yeah, that's a good point.
Here I am on eBay. I'm looking at, and this is the day after the event, so prices, if anything, should be lower. Apple Watch Gold Stainless Steel, $365. Gold, stainless steel, $520. GPS plus cellular gold, stainless steel, $600. I've got the stainless steel. Stainless steel, 44, white sports band, $550. Yeah, $110, because it's up to $110. Right?
Yeah, so that's a pretty bad deal.
That's a terrible deal. Unless you hate the idea of sticking something on eBay or sticking it on Craigslist and meeting someone at a coffee shop, you should not trade in your Apple Watch to Apple.
Yeah, you know, yes, of course you're paying a convenience premium for just taking it in and letting Apple deal with it. However, that's a pretty steep premium.
That is a pretty, yeah. Here's a black. Oh, wait a minute. You could get the, you could get a black stainless steel. I guess I forgot.
Yeah.
That. 368, 40 millimeter for 350, 44 millimeter for, 599, but 240, it's a bid at 249 currently, 339 to 530. So, I mean, yeah, $110, terrible deal. And this is the day after the media event.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Apple's trade-in deals aren't that good. I remember when I went to get the 12.9-inch iPad Pro, mm-hmm. and I had my first-gen iPad Pro with me so I could compare them side-by-side. Mm-hmm. And when I went to do the purchase, they said, hey, are you planning on trading in the old one? And I asked how much I could get for it, and they told me. And I just looked at the guy, and he says, yeah, I know. Most people don't trade them in when they hear that number.
Sure.
Because it was going to be like $80 for an iPad Pro with the smart keyboard cover and Apple Pencil.
So what is Apple doing for, like, I'm curious as to how even, like, doing something. Gazelle is so easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is so easy. So I'm looking at an iPhone 11 Pro. I'm going to, oh, I can't order yet, so they're not going to tell me. You can, by the way, order now the new iPad and the Apple Watch. You don't have to wait yeah. until the 13th to order those. We should just mention that. Yeah, Apple is not doing, see what the trade-in, where is the trade-in price? Like, I imagine you can get more from Gazelle. And
I'm sure you can.
I can't check that yet. Doing Gazelle is at least as easy as doing this stuff with Apple. Gazelle sends you a box. You go to Gazelle's site. You log in. You say, I want to sell something. They ask you some basic questions. You should be honest because they're obviously going to see the thing and they might adjust what they pay you. And then they send you a box, you slip your device into that box, and then you slap the pre-printed shipping label that they have sent with the box, and then you put it in the mail. Super easy, and then they credit your PayPal account.
Yeah.
That's super easy.
Super easy. And I'm sure you'll get, well, I'm assuming you'll get more back than you would if you went through Apple's trade-in.
Yeah, I would because if anything, I think that Gazelle has to be competitive, right? So they probably have to beat Apple's price to get people to do it, because Apple obviously is Apple, and you know, and yeah. will therefore get people who want to do it because it's Apple. And then a lot of people don't actually think about the price, and they're not doing any price checking. You know, like it's the same reason why people would walk into an Apple store and buy a 5-year-old design Mac Mini, right? Because, you know, mm-hmm. not everybody pays attention to the stuff as much as you and I and our listeners do.
Right. And, you know, and some people, they don't care. It's yeah. just that this is whatever the product is, it meets their needs right now.
Right.
And that's fine.
And then, of course, the other flip side is that I had my original Apple Watch sitting in a drawer for like 2 or 3 years, always meaning to sell it, and then, you know, like never getting around to actually selling it.
I'm really surprised to hear that.
Yeah, I'm sure you're surprised. Here's a question for you. Did you look at the Midnight Green? I want to call it forest green, but Apple apparently likes to call it midnight green.
I think that's going to be the runaway hit color.
It is gorgeous. And here's the thing, though. I don't think I can let myself buy anything other than space gray.
I get that. I like the black and the space gray colors.
Yeah.
So that for me, that's just where you go.
Especially when it's in case anyway.
Right, yeah, but when I saw the that midnight green, As soon as I saw it, I knew that was going to be the runaway hit color.
Yeah, it's a lovely color. It is a lovely color.
It looks really cool. It kind of reminds me of Boba Fett.
What?
It's kind of a Boba Fett green.
Huh. Yeah, I guess it is. Never cared for Boba Fett. Never cared about Boba Fett. Don't understand why anyone gives a crap about Boba Fett. Who cares about Boba Fett?
A lot of people do.
I know, but I don't understand
George Lucas didn't care about him, obviously, because he took an incredibly popular character and threw it in a Sarlacc pit, and then it's like, wait, what, huh? So I take it you're not interested in The Mandalorian on Disney Plus?
I'll probably watch that simply because it's additional Star Wars content. But I don't care about
it. Also, John Favreau.
Yeah.
He's producing it. Yeah. So
that should be good.
That right there just adds a lot of credit.
Maybe I will end up caring about Boba Fett. I just never cared about Boba Fett. I did not like. I back in the day, I didn't understand why there was a Boba Fett action figure. Like, action figure. Who cares?
A lot of people cared.
I know.
A lot of people still do.
I know. And this green on the other hand. I like this color green. It's a lovely color. And I guess the part that will show will be the square showing through your case or sticking out of your case, as the case may be.
Yes. So, you know, I could see where that could actually be really cool depending on what case you have.
Yeah.
Where just having that splash of green showing through.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're gonna make a Boba Fett case. You know, the kind of battle armor gray, and then you got the Boba Fett green.
So you know what was? Another thing that I thought was really cool was, you noticed how like Apple's videos showed the iPhone 11 Pro dropping a lot.
Yes,
and not breaking.
Well. They showed it not hitting the floor.
That's true. They showed it not hitting the floor, but they showed it dropping. And I thought that the message there was this thing is strong. That it's made out of glass.
I'm sure that's the message.
But it's strong. And I love the fact that it's milled from, like the fact that you could mill glass in the first place without like breaking it. But it's milled from a single piece of glass, just like you know they have often milled things from a single block of aluminum.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the drop tests. They did actually show it hitting the ground. They showed the machine that they used to slam it into the.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Oh, and I think just had something right on the tip of my tongue. Don't know.
Running with the Bulls. Pens, Boba Fett. dropping phones,
and that's this week's Apple. Oh, I know what it was. So, do you remember there was the whole thing about the notch before the iPhone X was released, and how like the notch is just the worst thing ever,
right?
Right, and then that lasted for at least 24, maybe 48 hours, and then no one was talking about you know once the darn thing shipped and people had it in their hands, no one was talking about the notch, and then people have also been whining about the ugliness of the square. For this larger camera array,
mm-hmm.
right? No one's going to care. It's going to come out. No one's going to care. It's going to be fine. Nothing like it's not. It's just not going to be a thing.
I remember people complaining about the dual lens setup.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, and you know, obviously, I suppose one could take this to an extreme, but. You know, it just is. And the benefits you get from this three camera array and these lenses is amazing. So, you know, whatever, it'll be fine.
Yeah, people will be fine with it. people don't complain about the camera bump like they used to.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, people still complain, but it's not this widespread, oh, holy crap, what has Apple done sort of thing.
You know who complains, though?
Let me see. Maybe initials are JK. Yeah. Maybe.
He's always complaining about the bump. I love you, John. I love you, John.
You know, I think John secretly really likes the bump. But, and I think he also likes Space Gray. And I think so many of the things that he complains.
Space Gray.
I think it's just a cover. I think that, and of course, this is just among friends, so it's not like anyone's going to hear this.
Yeah.
I think John is actually one of the sweetest, nicest people there are. But he has to create this facade of being this angry curmudgeon. So he says he doesn't like certain things that Apple does and doesn't like certain colors or product designs because that's this persona he's trying to project. But secretly, he really likes these things. He may have even composed sonnets about how wonderful the iPhone bump is.
Yeah, and the Space Gray bump in particular.
Yes.
Yes.
In particular, yes.
I've heard this. I have heard that he might have composed sonnets in tribute to the Space Gray bumps.
You know, if this doesn't become a YouTube channel, then the internet has failed.
The internet has absolutely failed. All right, Jeff, I want to thank you. Actually, before I thank you, I'm going to do this. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. I'm going to get this down any day now. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. Write me at acm@macobserver.com because this guy won't get your email anymore. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass was recorded by Boom just for us. My sponsor this week was keeps.com. That's keeps.com/ACM, where you can go and get your first month's treatment for free. If you have any concern about your hair, you should absolutely and positively check out that company. Can't stress that enough. Thank you for joining me, Jeff.
It's so awesome to be here. It just occurred to me there might be people that are like, wait, Jeff's been gone. So for those two of you that didn't realize I've been gone, textexpander.com. I'm the Text Expander Evangelist now.
Yeah, from Smile.
Go hang out with me there.
Yeah.
And hang out with Brian here. Brian, it's so much fun to get to come on and do the show with you, especially because, I was going to say because I don't have to do any prep, but I realized that's basically how it always went anyhow. So it's just great to get to do a show with you every now and then. Yeah,
exactly. I very much agree with that. Okay, on that happy note. More things change.
I believe you'll get it down.